Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you will. Before Super Church leaves, Victor, would you mind helping me out? We seem a little mellow this morning, and I wanted to get us talking to each other. And I wanted us to talk about baptism, and I wanted to ask you, where were you baptized? Where were you baptized? And most have probably been baptized in a baptistry at church, but Ashley, get us started, if you don't mind. Victor, take that back there. Victor, if you could walk right down the middle, because you're going to be passing it back and forth, okay? Well,
maybe not. I was baptized in Brazil in a pond. Well, it was half salt water, half beach water, right there. And I was 8 years old.
All right. So Ashley was my child who came young, and I talked to her about Jesus, and I could tell it just wasn't all there yet. And she went away crying and said, "Dad won't let me get saved." And then she, and so I must have been right. And then she committed her life to the Lord on her own. So I think she got that right. Amen. Amen. Someone else, any unique places? Doesn't have to be unique. The uniqueness is who we're baptized in the name of.
Lake is unique. Olathe, Kansas, and Olathe Lake.
All right. Very good. Very good. Someone else back. Yeah. Bev?
We moved into a little town called Tunis, Missouri, and that next Sunday we went to the Baptist church and we walked in. We had six kids with us. So anyway, they asked us a few questions and said, "Well, have you all been baptized?" And we said, "No." And they said, "Well, that's the end of church. Let's all go." And they took us to the river and baptized us.
Oh, my. Wow. All righty. Wow. Wow. How many of us were baptized, let's say, 18 years old and younger, if you've been baptized in the name of Christ? All right. Thank you. And then how about 18 years and older? How many there? My hand is up there. Okay. Very good. Where is Kikuvi? We've got some folks that have been baptized in other places. Kikuvi, tell us where you were baptized at. Nateen, if you wouldn't mind, you're next.
Okay. I was baptized in a baptistry at the church. So since you give me the micro, this is my story. And I'm glad my mom is not here. So just for all the young kids and youth who want to get baptized, to be honest, the age doesn't really matter, but it's what you understand about, the baptism and what you're doing. And, like Jerry said, we can force you to understand it. I'm surprised Ashley was able to make it happen with that crying face. So with me, I was around 14 when I wanted to get baptized. And, getting to the teenager, my attitude wasn't really going correct at home. And my mom decided that I wasn't ready for it. So she went and told the pastor, "Hey, no, he's not ready." So I have to wait for another year and kind of got things a little bit straight up. And then after that, I was allowed to get baptized. So, hey, that's my story.
All right, very good. Someone else. Way up front here, but before you come all the way up here to Dad, give the mic to Nateen and tell us about you and how you came to the Lord and where you were baptized, Nateen.
I came to know the Lord around 19 years old. I went to the church. I was a nominal Christian. I just went to the church just because my family asked me to go to church. I wasn't saved up until when I was going to college, where I wanted to go away from family and just live my life. But there was a team from the States who came and were sharing the gospel, and I went with them to share the gospel. I didn't know what I was doing, but people told me to go with them, so I did, and we were sharing the gospel and what Jesus has done for people, and not knowing what he had done for me. So I was just sharing the gospel with others. But at that time, when I was sharing that, questions started coming to my mind, like, why am I doing this? What's the purpose of my life? And I started thinking about those questions, and then, I came to know the Lord, as I was praying about it. And in a crusade meeting the next time, in a few months, God really, revealed himself through one of the crusade meeting, and I was in tears. Never cried before, never was knelt down before the Lord, crying. So that was my experience. And then after a year, in 2014, I was baptized in a local church in a small tank, water tank. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. So Natine was out doing pre-Christian evangelism. Back there at the back, if you would. And Daniel, we'll make your way down here.
Yes, I was baptized about almost 70 years ago in the old Baptist church that stood in this area right in here. The baptistry had cold water, and it was the middle of winter, and it was cold.
As he's coming up to your father, I was the custodian at Redbridge Baptist, and we were supposed to baptize a gal. And I turned the water on, but all I turned on was hot. And so when the pastor and waiters stepped in, he could tell instantly it wasn't okay. The first week, it was back-to-back weeks. The first week, I had forgot to fill it. So the associate pastor came to me and said, Jerry, to keep your job, go get 30 bags of ice and float them in the baptistry. And they baptized at the end of the service. Daniel?
Daniel Nichols, Pastor Jerry gave me the privilege to share my testimony sometime last fall. If you recall, my notes mysteriously disappeared, and one of the things that I forgot to share was I made a profession of faith, as you recall, when I was 6 or 7, and I was actually baptized at 12 in the town of Cañada, where the Tharp served, and with my parents for a year. I was baptized by my dad at age 12. The Lord brought me to conviction of my sin, and that I had not truly repented of my sin and believed in the Lord. And so I was baptized again by my father at our family reunion just this past summer in the Lake of the Ozarks.
Amen. 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 All right. Well, we're going to talk about the picture of baptism, the visual of it this morning, and learn something, I believe. And as we do that, though, get ready for that super church. You guys can go ahead and stand up, and you guys can take off. Thank you, Victor. All right. We're going to get to Romans 6 eventually, so maybe you want to open a Bible to Romans 6, and we'll get there. In Scripture, we find a lot of different teaching techniques employed by God. Our Lord used parables sometimes. Sometimes he would lecture. He oftentimes used object lessons from everyday items that people were familiar with, as did other biblical authors, for the purpose of communicating spiritual truth. And one of the teaching techniques that I see in Scripture is pictures, things that help us picture something or visualize something. Leonardo da Vinci is credited with saying a poet would be overcome by sleep and hunger before being able to describe with words what a painter is able to depict in an instant. And sometimes when we look at a picture, instantly there's understanding. And baptism helps us do that as well. It gives us some very significant visual help in understanding a truth that we're going to talk about this morning. God used pictures to communicate spiritual truth, visuals. And among them, we find baptism, the Lord's Supper, the Jewish Passover, Noah's Ark, we just finished with that, marriage, light and darkness, the Old Testament sacrifices, just to name a few. Each picture emphasizes unique aspects of God's provision, spiritual, and how he cares for us. And I wanted us to consider a few of these pictures from God in Scripture to see if we might gain some fresh spiritual insight, maybe even spiritual intensity, spiritual focus from the truths being illustrated with some of the pictures that God has given us. And today what I wanted us to talk about was baptism. You might think, well, I was baptized years ago. Bob, did you say 70 years ago? Did they have water back then? That's all. That is awesome. 70 years. And so Bob might want to think, I was baptized 7 decades ago. I can put my mind in neutral and coast this morning. And many of us raised our hands and said, I was baptized as a child, or I was baptized as an adult. And maybe we're tempted to think I can just coast, because that's for somebody who doesn't know the Lord. They need a fresh relationship with Jesus and to be able to be identified with him through baptism. And that's true. But thinking that I can put my mind in neutral would not be a good thing. That I don't need to think about baptism anymore meant that kind of a mentality is a significant part of what I want to talk about this morning. Baptism is a one-time act for a believer, someone who's genuinely a believer. And like what Daniel's testimony was, is he was raised in a believer's home and was baptized as a fairly young child, but the dynamic of the personal relationship wasn't there, and that's why he would be baptized later on as an adult as a follower of Christ. It is to happen after believing, and Acts chapter 16, Stephen and the Ethiopian eunuch help us to understand that, but we're not going to talk about that this morning. The best picture, even the definition of the word baptizo, indicates immersion to be the best method to dip, to immerse, to submerge. Considering baptism could go a lot of different directions. We could talk about John the Baptist and the disciples that he baptized. We could talk about Jesus and him allowing John to baptize him when the Spirit of God descended upon him. We could talk about mode of baptism and the when of baptism and go other directions, but I don't want to do that this morning. I want us to consider a more narrow thought, and the thought is, who and what are we as followers of Christ being identified with as a believer who was or should be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? And so we are going to go that direction, because the uniqueness of Nateen being baptized in India and Ashley being baptized in Brazil and Kakuvi in Togo, and you were Bob here and maybe at a pond or maybe in a church baptistry, the dynamic that pulls all of those together is the name in whom we are baptized. And we're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, with Jesus having given his blood and broken his body for that. So as I mentioned, May 5th, weather permitting, we're planning a baptism at our place late afternoon, a cookout. It's for you and anybody that you would want to invite. And the nice thing about that is that it's very relaxed, and sometimes visitors like hanging around out there. It's just peaceful. Talitha has called upon the name of the Lord. She asked if she could be baptized in public, in a pond in February. And as we said, how about May? And we're hoping May is warm. And so we're going to make that happen. And if you're here and would like to talk with someone about baptism, I would love to sit down and open God's word and talk with you. The significant thing isn't baptism. It is important, because our Lord said, go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's important. The significant thing is that you're in Christ. Once we're in Christ, then it's time to follow him in what's referred to as a believer's baptism. The one in whom we are identified is our Lord. The practice of baptism, though, in pagan religions seems to have been based on a belief of the purifying properties of water. I'm quoting, ancient Babylonian religions baptized before Christ, as did some Egyptian cults. The ancient Greek world's mystery religions included rites of either immersion or a washing of the body for the purpose of purification. Some would even baptize in blood, thinking themselves to be more dedicated in that way. And so it's not only just a Christian thing that we do. It was used in other groups that don't honor the Lord, that are false gods. And so it's the in whose name you're baptized is what's the critical thing. These days, we don't see that as much, but it existed before. We know well our Lord's marching orders, and I wanted to just read them in a couple of other passages. Jesus came and spoke to his disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's a lot of authority. All authority, not just on earth, all authority in heaven as well, has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's not the end of the story. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So that's the word that he gave his disciples, and that's likely why you and I would say that I believe on the Lord, because someone has shared Christ with us, and we have been identified with him in baptism as well. Luke 24 tells it this way, a post-resurrection appearance. Jesus said the following, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." And Peter began that, and that would be found in Acts chapter 2, where Peter had preached to the crowd on the day of Pentecost and said the following, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so we notice that repentance comes before baptism. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, that would be us, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Sounds like it fits in 2024 America, doesn't it? "Save yourself from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized. Being baptized in Jesus' name identifies the follower of Christ with his death and his life. And that's what I wanted us to focus on this morning. Being baptized in his name identifies the follower of Christ with his death and his life. So open your Bible or a Bible that's in front of you to Romans chapter 6. And as you're doing that, let me just give us a word about Romans chapter 5 and what he's saying before he gets to chapter 6. In the latter part of Romans chapter 5, there's a comparison of death in Adam and life in Christ being made. By the one came sin and condemnation and death. By the other came justification and righteousness, grace and eternal life. The one would be Adam. The other would be the second Adam, or Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 then says this, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Since grace came in order to combat sin, would it be a reasonable, logical thing for us to continue sinning so that more grace can be distributed?" And the answer is no, of course not, by no means. How can we, and these are the phrases that I want you to focus on first as we speak about death and being identified with his death, how can we who died to sin still live in it? And so in Christ, I'm identified with him who died, and he died to sin. And Paul says, "How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" So this baptism, this identification that I have, mirrors me being baptized into Christ's death. That's the visual. He died to sin. The logical conclusion, Scripture says, Spirit of God through Paul, is that we have died to sin as well. We've been baptized, identified with Christ in his death. Verse 3. Verse 4 says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death." Part of, a significant part of my identity with Jesus is with his death. And I don't quit being identified with that the day after I'm baptized. That's something that I should carry with me, is healthy to carry with me and to consider and contemplate all of the days of my journey here on earth. And yet there can be a temptation for us to think, you know, I was baptized as a kid, as a young adult, checked that one off of my list, what's next? The what's next is continue to consider that you have been identified with the death of Christ. That's what Romans chapter 6 is saying. A significant part of my identity with Jesus is with his death. That doesn't go away right after baptism. I think I was baptized on April 20th. I came to know the Lord, and y'all know the story, on April 8th in my mailman's Jeep. And then I went to church the next Sunday, and I just went up and started talking to the preacher and told him what happened to me. And so he told me to come in and meet with him. I went in and met with him, and then the following Sunday I was baptized. It was either April 20th or April 27th. I can't remember specifically which day it was that I was baptized. I remember going to the church for the first time as a believer, probably cut off jeans and a t-shirt and tennis shoes that had holes in them. That's just who I was, and that's what I had. I didn't know what to do, so I went and told the pastor I got saved. And then he introduced me to the church and handed me a microphone, for crying out loud. I've never had a microphone handed to me in my life. I met with him the next week and told him my story. And then I was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand it at the time. I didn't understand that I was identified with Christ in the likeness of his death, though those words were probably used when I was baptized, that I was raised to walk in newness of life. That was probably used as well. But what I heard was, this is what God wants you to do. And somebody showed me something in Scripture that said, this is what he wants you to do. And so that's what I did. I don't quit thinking about that I am identified with the death of Christ just because I'm way past April 8th, 1980. I continue to need to consider that. I needed to consider that this week. I'm identified with Jesus' death unto sin. I have the ability to conquer sin in the Lord because I'm identified with him. Being identified with Jesus' death wasn't over on April 20th or April 27th after I was baptized. It was just the beginning. And I'm guessing that if it's true for me, it's true for you, there can be a temptation, or at least the thought of, you know, I don't really need to even think about Jesus and his baptism and his death and his resurrection and me being identified with that because it was so long ago that I was identified in that way. Not true. I need to continue to consider that. It was just the beginning. It was a significant beginning, but it was just the beginning. I need to identify with Jesus' death all of the time. Every time that I'm tempted, Jesus died unto sin once for all. And I have victory there. And one of the victories that gets me through that temptation is that Jesus died unto this. He's given me the ability to move beyond this without having to fall. And so that helps me do that. Verse 5 says this, if we've been united with him in death, in a death like his. And so he just says several phrases. And I'm leaving the resurrection part out because that's going to be the next point. Verse 6 says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. I don't have to be enslaved to sin because the blood of Jesus Christ is stronger than that. And he died and he resurrected. He was raised up from the dead. Why do I need identification with Jesus' death today? So that I recognize I am no longer enslaved to sin. I don't have to sin. I don't have to go down this thing that always trips me up. If I do, I'm choosing to do that, maybe ignorantly, but I'm choosing to do that rather than be identified with the power that's in the blood of the Lamb that was sacrificed for the sin of the world. I am identified with that crucifixion, with his death. We don't just want moral goodness. We don't want to just be moral people. I'm borrowing this from Joshua. He beats on this drum quite a bit. We don't want to just be moral. We want to have a spiritual, growing dynamic in the Lord that results in some morality, yes, but we can be moral and not know Jesus. We want the spiritual dynamic to be present. Verse 7 says, for one who has died has been set freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, and then he continues on, I've been set free from that. Verse 9, we know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. That's what I'm identified with. It isn't just I should be baptized because I'm a follower of Christ. That's true also. But it's I should be baptized because I'm identifying with Christ through this baptism. And he died to sin once for all. I'm identifying with that as well. What a picture that takes us through the spiritual journey that we walk through. Verse 11. So you also must, no, verse 10, for the death he died to sin once for all. Verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin. I'm going to leave off that last part. How do I consider myself dead to sin? By being identified with Christ in his death. I remember, I contemplate it, I think about it, I'm tempted. You know what? I don't have to give in to this. I can move beyond this because I am identified with Jesus in his death. And he died to sin that I might gain the victory over this as well. That's my identification. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Don't do that. You have the ability. It's an imperative. Verse 13, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. Verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under the law but under grace. What a picture. What a visual, a picture which expresses the spiritual reality. It speaks volumes of who we are in Christ. And so my mind should go back to April 20th or April 27th, whichever day it was, that I was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I was identified with him in his death and all that that means. And if you were a believer and were baptized, whether young or old, on this continent or another continent, in a pond or a trough or a baptistry, that's not the issue. The issue is that you were baptized in Christ, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the spiritual dynamic that results from that is I have available to me victory over sin because he died to sin once for all. Baptism is a pretty significant picture. It isn't just the 8 or 10 year old boy or girl that comes to know the Lord and so we baptize them to be obedient to our Lord, and we should do that. But it goes much longer. I think it applies to us 7 decades more later, and to me and to all of us, that we have been identified with Christ in the likeness of his death. I've been identified with Jesus in the likeness of his death. What a privileged thing that he's given us. Being baptized in Jesus' name identifies the follower of Christ in his death. The identity we have with Jesus in his death was no ordinary death. It isn't just he got old and got sick and he died. His is no ordinary death, and that's the identification that I have with him in a non-ordinary death, a sacrificial death. He bought me. His death was for a very specific purpose. The death that he died to sin. That is what you and I as followers of Christ are identified with. You ever wonder if Jesus, I did this week, will have scars in heaven? You ever wonder if when we see Jesus, there's going to be a hole in his side or nail marks on his hands or on his feet? Bible doesn't say, and so anything we would do would be speculation. Be careful not to be dogmatic with your speculation. Be dogmatic with truth that's taught in Scripture. But what we do remember is we remember what our Lord did for Thomas. Remember what Thomas did? He said, unless I see him, unless I put my finger in the hole, I am not going to believe. And the next thing you know, you see Jesus coming through a wall and says, Thomas, come over here. Put your finger right here. Look at this, Thomas. Look at what I did for you. That's what we're identified with. were identified with the death of Jesus Christ. What a pure, holy motivator to not sin. Not just be morally good, but what a pure, holy motivator to not do the things that don't honor God because we're identified with Jesus. And I should be growing in my sanctification rather than pulling him down because I'm identified with him. Don't pull him down and mock his name. Rather, we want to live for him. The death he died to sin once for all. As we read through Romans 6, it was clear that there is something else that the believer is identified with. Baptism identifies a follower of Christ with his death, but it also identifies a follower of Christ with his resurrection and with his life. Being baptized in Jesus' name identifies me and you as a follower of Christ with Jesus' resurrection and his life. And when we read through the phrases in Romans 6 about life and resurrection, it goes two different directions. Some of them speak of a resurrection that will happen physically, literally, which is future. And sometimes it refers to the life that we have and a resurrected life that we can have in the now. And so we have to be careful to look at verb tenses. Some of them are future, some of them are now. My identity with Jesus' life. We hear a lot of about believers thinking about heaven, and when I get to, and we sang about it, and it's true, and that's not wrong, but if there isn't any reality of a life now, that's not as pure as it could be, should be. We should consider heaven, but we should also consider that I may live with God in the present right now. I get to live with him forever as well. That's true, but it's not the whole picture. Jesus was raised from the dead. We're baptized and identified with him unto life, not unto heaven. That's true, but we're baptized and identified with him unto newness of life, unto life, and that's in the here and now. So let's go back over some of those verses and pick out those phrases. Romans 6:3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, for the purpose that, for the cause of, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Not that we too one day would walk on the streets of heaven with him. That's true, another place. But here, it's that we too might walk in the newness of life. And so this identity that I have with Christ in his death as well as in his life gives me a new motivation and a spiritual step in the here and now, that we might walk in the newness of life. This life isn't in heaven, though it will be one day. This is newness of life right here, right now. A spirit-led, spiritually victorious, abundant life that is pleasing to God. You didn't hear me use the word perfect and never sin, but we should be more victorious than we were before. And I should be this year more so than I was 10 years ago. It should be a sanctification growth, and I'm walking in newness of life. And yet we're going to acknowledge that Paul in chapter 7 had the struggle going on, sometimes wanting to do something that he didn't do, and sometimes doing stuff that he didn't want to do. And we get there as well. But we're identified with his walk in a newness of life. For it, verse 5, for if we've been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection. This is a future, and that would be a resurrection that happens in the future. To walk in verse 4 is present, shall certainly be united. That's in the future. Verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Sin is not my master. I don't have to live in it. I don't have to live like this. It's not just willpower or personality. It's a spiritual dynamic that I need to tap into the truth of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God to be able to live that way. Verse 8, now if we've died with Christ, we believe we also live with him. This here is a future declaration rather than just a here and now declaration as well. Verse 10, for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. That's a present, okay? So you also must consider, that's present, that's you and I today considering this, yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What an identification that we have in baptism. I've been identified with Jesus in his death, the death that he died to sin once for all, and I'm united with him in his resurrection of a one day will be, but also in a newness of life in the present now. What a picture that we've been given. And then God gives us instruction on how to do it. Verse 12. Let not sin, imperative, something you must do, it's present, not future, not past. Let not sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin, same thing, it's imperative, something that's required of us. It's in the now. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought back from death to life. That's your identification. You've been brought back from death to life. So when I think about let not sin reign in your mortal body and don't present your members to sin, we go for the big ones. We go for things like murdering and harming someone and the things that are really ugly. But what about our tongue? What about pride? What about gluttony? What about the other things that fall in there as well? I don't need to, and I'm told not to, present my members, the members of my body, as instruments of sin unto unrighteousness, but rather to present myself unto God. Perhaps the norm for the believer is to think, I was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I was sincere. Maybe I didn't know that much, but I've grown and I'm thankful. And so I just don't think about baptism all that much. It was a long time ago. And for me, it was. It was a long time ago. 1980, that's 44 years almost. The picture of being baptized, of being identified with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, especially from this Romans 6 passage of being identified with Christ in his death, in his resurrection, is a needed reminder of all through our spiritual journey as a believer. The reason I can have victory tomorrow over whatever temptation is coming my way is because I can be identified. I am identified with Jesus Christ. The reason I can present my members to God as instruments of righteousness rather than just strong willpower to get me there is because I have been identified. I am identified with Jesus Christ through the baptism that I have in Christ. Yes, Paul experienced the dilemma expressed in Romans 7, sometimes not doing the very things that he didn't want to do or doing the things that he didn't want to do. That's spiritual warfare. It doesn't just happen in the heavens. It happens inside of us as well. It happens in our world. But he pushed through to Romans 8 where he says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Doesn't say there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk perfectly and morally. It's those who are in Christ Jesus. So have you been baptized in Christ Jesus? Have you been born again? And then as a born again, spiritually birthed individual, have you been identified with the Lord through baptism? In a believer's baptism, not just baptism, but a believer's baptism, the cults baptized before, there are others that baptize, I'm imagining, even today, what we hear is usually under Christian circles or under the umbrella of Christian circles. But in believer's baptism, I am identified with Christ. I am in Christ. I have put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. I have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Colossians chapter 3 verse 10. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 puts it this way. The believer's identification with Christ. I am, and maybe you know it, and if you do, you can quote it with me if you learned the same version. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Which means this is the challenge to us in our mind. It's something that happened and yet hasn't completely. And so when you see Jerry, you see this, he is crucified in Christ person. And sometimes I just don't live that way, to be honest with you. As perhaps you might struggle with as well. No, there isn't any perhaps, as you struggle with as well. And so what I wanted to do is encourage us to recognize and identify afresh ourselves with the baptism that we've had in Christ. We're baptized into his death. We're also baptized into his life. So let's get really practical for a couple of minutes and then I'll finish. In a message like this, it's very likely that God brings something to your mind, to your heart, that has weighted you down much longer than what is spiritually healthy. And you already knew that, and you know that, because the Spirit of God is effective in bringing that conviction. But when we're confronted with a message like, I am identified with his death, I am identified with his life, maybe he brings a fresh conviction and you recognize, you know what, that is who I am. And in the power of the Lord, I need to set that aside. I have the ability to do that because he was crucified. I am able to do that based on the blood of Jesus Christ. I am able to live unto the Lord today. I can put him on because I am identified with Jesus Christ. And if God points his finger at some particular sin that you've struggled with for much longer than what you know is healthy or good, which would be like a day, that's too long, but you understand what I'm saying. And if he's calling you to the place of a fresh commitment based on the baptism that you were baptized into Christ on, today would be the day for repentance and a renewal and freshness in that relationship. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you. It is just amazing to think of all of the things that we have in Christ. And Jesus, that you would allow us to be identified with you in that horrible death that we talked about and were reminded of even just last week because it was Easter Sunday. That you would allow us to be identified with you even though you walked through it and we didn't is just a grace act all by itself. And yet you tell us to identify ourselves with that. That we died with you. I am crucified with Christ. And yet we live. And that you allow us to identify with you in the life that overcame death and walk in newness of life is amazing also all by itself. And yet you tell us to do that. So I pray, Father, that you would use a reminder of with the picture of baptism, that you would use that as a reminder to us of who we are and whose we are because we've been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May we walk in a way that's pleasing to you and be used even like Natine was doing in helping other people know you because we communicate that message as well. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.